This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tessa Vigeland. The violent crime rate in this country dropped for the fifth year in a row last year, according to the FBI. But we are still paying a steep price in the aftermath of those crimes. Aside from the obvious physical and emotional toll crime takes on its victims, medical care in assault cases costs more than $4 billion a year. And locking up criminals costs $74 billion annually, so says a study by the Center for American Progress. There is a cost to keeping yourself safe. It varies, of course, depending on what you feel is necessary to secure yourself and your property. But for an estimate of those costs and advice on how best to deal with personal safety issues, we visited Captain Justin Eisenberg, who runs the North Hollywood Division of the Los Angeles Police Department. Captain Justin Eisenberg, thanks for letting us come to the station.
Thanks for coming. It's nice
You're
to see
gonna
you
You're not going to lock me up, right?
I won't. Not today.
Okay,
as
not
long
today.
As you don't take anything on your way out.
Okay, I'll try to keep my kleptomania in check. So we're here to talk about security, obviously. And, you know, I think to a lot of people, that's going to mean securing the place where they spend the most of their time in their homes.
Yes.
And that's, of course, where valuables are as well. What is the best way to ensure that your home is secure?
First thing I would recommend to everyone is don't be complacent. And that's what we see a lot here with burglaries. You have people that are taking steps. They might have a burglar alarm, for instance, but they don't turn it on because they think, well, I'm just going to go out for a quick errand. And that's the moment that they're victimized. There's also steps for your physical security in terms of what you want to invest in. If you have a limited budget, start with a basic alarm.
And what does that entail?
Something that has a motion sensor. Depending on what you have in your home and how concerned you are, you know, how much security you want to invest in, there's more upgrades you could have to that system. You could have cameras. You could have sensors that detect breaking glass. So it really depends on how much you want to put into it.
What is kind of the cheapest option that you could find? Is there stuff just on the market in the store that you can get without having a security company?
Oh, sure. You know, there's sensors you can buy at the store without having a monitored system. There's, you know, investments you can make in just having good locks and having bars on your windows or having even something in place so that someone can't force open your window, a piece of wood at the bottom of it, like a dowel, so that they can't open it. One of the things that we always see is that burglars like to target homes they think are not occupied. So people that leave their mail out or their newspapers, they're often burglarized because they figure the burglar feels that it's safe. There's no one there. So just not leaving your paper out there on the front doorstep. Another step that someone can take that costs no money is to get involved with their neighborhood watch and to have a strong community that they're part of where they're looking out for each other. It doesn't cost anything, but it makes you more secure.
We talked about kind of the cheapest option that you have for securing your home. Obviously, there are much more expensive options. How do you know when you're getting your money's worth?
Again, it really depends on what you think your needs are,
yeah,
depending on the type of things that you keep in your home and so forth. I mean, I would recommend to everyone that they don't leave valuables or things that are really irreplaceable in their house unsecured. So investing in a safe that's bolted to the ground is a great investment. Not a safe on wheels, one that's really bolted down.
Yeah,
and that's
you don't want
not
a safe
one that's
on
going to
wheels.
Get wheeled out. Yeah, because they, you know, they'll be targeted. But what you're trying to accomplish is you're trying to create a situation where you're not burglarized, you know, where your house is not desirable. And I'll give you another example. What we've seen is a lot of burglars will knock and see if you're home. And if they don't think you're home, they'll go around to the side or the back and they'll force entry and they'll burglarize your home. And this occurs during the daytime. So I guess the big point is if you can do things and create a situation where you're not targeted, that's ideal. But if it comes down to that, then having some of these things in place like cameras or an alarm system or good locks, all the above, securing your valuables in a safe, those are all great steps you can take to minimize the loss and lower your risk.
What about personal security? As you mentioned, you know, we all want to feel safe. What's the best way of achieving that?
You know, being aware of your surroundings, having a plan, checking in with people. And then with police officers and also with everyone else, you know, our personal security is a mindset. Being aware of your surroundings, looking around, not looking down. Also, we always invest in our skills, you know, our physical fitness. And then, you know, the same would apply to you or anyone. Being able to physically defend yourself. I really believe in that.
So self-defense classes?
I'm for them. Yeah. I think they're a great investment. And the other part that comes from that, not only your physical strength, but that self-confidence. You've got to have that confidence that you've got the will to live, you know, that you're going to survive whatever that challenge is that's coming your way, that you're going to fight.
We can't talk about the issue of safety, I think, without addressing the notion of weapons.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're living in a large urban area where there might be a certain amount of gun crime. You know, some people are going to be tempted to buy a gun.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that idea?
Well, I believe that, of course, everyone has a right to bear arms. And if you're going to acquire a weapon, then pick a gun that's appropriate for you, that you can handle, get the training that you need so that you're confident with it, just like you're confident with your physical fitness skills and everything else. Whatever tool you choose, you have to be confident with it. Because if you're not, when it's in your hand, it's going to be pretty obvious and you're not going to be ready to use it.
Captain Justin Eisenberg of the North Hollywood Division of the Los Angeles Police Department. Thanks for letting us come in.
Thank you.
You ready to have some fun?
Let's go have some fun.
All right.
Now, by fun, he meant a stint in the Force Options Simulator Room upstairs at LAPD North Hollywood Division. This is where they put officers through what training coordinator Mike Hall called a pumped-up video game with realistic scenarios that could face officers in the field.
It is decision-making, and officers are, typically are out there and having to make split-second decisions.
So we will quickly find out that I should not be a police officer.
Or we might find out
or
that
you might... Or
you
might recruit me.
Yes, because we are hiring, I believe. So let me show you the weapon systems and give you a quick demo.
Yeah, that's nervous laughter you hear from me. I'd only held a gun one other time in my life, some 20 years ago. Target practice on soup cans in a gravel pit. This gun, a 40 caliber Glock 22, was tethered to an air tank that allowed it to operate like a normal firearm, but without bullets. I was shooting, in quotation marks, at a stationary target on the wall, with Captain Eisenberg coaching from behind me.
Fire a double tap to center mass on each target facing.
Holy cow.
Your finger off the trigger. Now put it back on.
Good shooting. You can handle a weapon.
Wow. I'm hired. It wasn't quite as easy when they put videos up on the wall with actual crime scenarios, but I did discover a new skill.
So we were shooting probably about the 7-yard distance, and based on that, you had been on your way to shoot an expert, especially when we were shooting at 15 yards, because you were still shooting pretty good. Well, maybe not expert. We'll say sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter?
Sharpshooter at this point.
That's going to be my new Twitter handle, @sharpshooter. And so with that introduction to Firearms 101, we headed over to L.A.'s West Side for The Real Thing. Met up with Nolan Avery, who runs LAX Firing Range.
We rent semi-automatics, the smaller 22 caliber guns, revolvers, rifles.
How are you picking out guns for me?
I got one gun, it's just a standard Glock 34. It's real lightweight. So let me have you fill out this.
As I signed my life away, put on giant ear guards and protective eyewear, and watched as other customers made their way onto the range, Avery took us through the cost rundown of weapons ownership.
You could buy a gun that's extremely inexpensive, meaning $200. But keep in mind, you're getting what you pay for. So you can't buy a Yugo and expect it to perform like a Ferrari. If you buy a $200 gun, you are buying a piece of crap. The value of a gun is dependent on how much you trust your life with it.
Well, then, if you are looking for a weapon that is of good quality,
right,
but won't break the bank,
right,
what
right
aspects are you looking for?
One, you're looking for reputation. You also want to look at the warranty and the fact that they'll stand behind the product. You don't have to spend all the money up front. They're stores that have layaway programs, because there's so many other things that you need to buy. You need to buy ammo, you need to buy earmuffs, you need to buy glasses, extra magazines. What happens is people will buy a gun and a box of bullets, they'll go home, they won't practice, they'll put it in a nightstand, and they'll say, I'm ready or prepared for something, and it's total BS, because when it actually happens, they're not going to remember that the gun's there, they're not going to remember how to load it, they're not going to know how to use it, and it's just it's something that's going to be used against them. So
you mentioned all of the other gear. So you're looking at a significant investment then, if you're doing it right.
Correct. When you're buying guns, there are all the other things that need to come with it. The magazine, the ammunition, the cleaning supplies. It's not just buy gun, buy bullets, and you're done.
So low end is a couple $100. Avery estimated a good weapon on the high end with ammunition and all the necessary accessories would run around $1,000. And with that, it was time to hit the range. My target was not a red-ringed bullseye or a menacing criminal. No, this one was going to need several shots to the head.
You gave me the zombie to shoot at.
Of course.
Perfect.
Of course. So, when we teach based upon what you would actually encounter. So, if you imagine if you're practicing for self-defense, like if you want to defend your house, the greatest distance between two walls would be the furthest that you would shoot, 20, 30 feet.
Right.
Now.
Avery loaded the weapon and handed it over. I held it the way I'd been taught by the LAPD, left hand over right. Then he squared me up with the target.
When you look through the sights, concentrate on the front sight.
I matched the front and rear sights with my zombie and slowly, slowly squeezed the trigger.
Whoa! Oh, jeez.
Now, did you see where you hit the target?
I have no idea. Am I even in the paper?
No, it's dead straight. Look at that.
I got his carotid.
I take that 7 days a week. Ain't nothing wrong with that right there.
Wow.
That's a good shot. Now, extend your arms out. Put that front sight right into the center of the target. So that was a heart shot.
Where is it?
It's in the heart.
Oh, yeah?
Put your thumb down.
I'm sweating. So I've rid the world of, five or six zombies?
You have.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
You can take this as your proof of your zombie kill.
Awesome.
We left three rounds of spent cartridges on the floor. It took a couple of hours for the smell of gunpowder to leave my nose. By the way, if I should choose to buy a handgun here in California, I am required to have a safety certificate, costs $25. And as long as I get 23 out of 30 questions right, I can own one after a 10-day waiting period. To buy a shotgun or a rifle, I don't need anything but my ID.